Don't know what happened to the ending there. But welcome to another Games Talk Live episode number 112, I believe. So this one's going to be a good one, however, because Hargeet is back. Welcome back, Hargeet. I know you went away on a business trip last weekend, but you are here, back, and it's good to have you back, man. Seriously, welcome.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, I had to be out in San Diego for a week, but I did catch some of it, you know, in the chats.
But, you were making fun of Colt having to be here for all that stuff he probably didn't want to talk about, but we talked about it anyway. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun. Yep. Today we have got a lot of topics for you, for sure. And also we might be getting a phone call later on from somebody very special in the industry. We'll just leave it at that. Anyways, let's go ahead and let's talk about what we've been playing lately. Have you been playing any games lately?
I didn't get a chance to play anything while I was out. So I took a whole bunch of games on my,
I got to close my window. Yeah.
I took a bunch of games on my ROG. But I ended up just not having time, so I ended up just not bothering, and so I didn't get to play anything. Coming back, I haven't played too much. I started up what the heck is the game? It's one of the ones that's leaving. I can't remember the name of it, but it's hardship based or something like that.
Hardship something something yeah, something
something along those. I don't know. Hard base, I don't know, something like that, Shipbreaker or something like that. So I started that up and haven't really gotten into it at all, but I want to try that out before it leaves, which will be, I guess, the end of the week or so. So, but that's basically it. And then I tried bringing up the character creator for Dragon's Dogma 2, but I wasn't sure if I do the creation on Xbox, if it'll transfer to PC. So I kind of just said, all right, well, why don't I just...
Sorry. I messed up some things there. I think we're back to normal now, though. Okay. We're back.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what you've been playing. Right. And, I've been playing some Last Epoch still. Very good game. Playing that on, of course, Steam. And also, Dragon's Dogma 2. They had released a little character creation thing. The portion where you can create your character is out. If you don't know that, it's out on consoles. It's out on PC. You guys can download this and now create your character. If you're anything like me, Chet, I don't know if you are. I am somebody who will spend sometimes, dare I say, even hours building a character, because this is something I'm going to be playing many, many hours within the game, right? So you want to create a character you want to look at the whole time. So you can create your character, create your pawn, and I've been creating so many different ones, trying to go back and forth. Which one do I want to be? What do I want my pawn to look like? Because you can make your main pawn there too as well. So I don't know. If you're like me, download it now so you can get that out the way. So when this game drops, you can start playing right away. And that's just 2 weeks away, folks. So
you've used it, right? So yeah. Does it save it to the cloud, and does it let you put? So this is one of the questions I downloaded it on Xbox, but I might end up buying the game on PC. And I'm like, ooh. Well, should I do the character creation on Xbox? Will it work on PC?
I don't know if it does it that way. It probably does, because it does save it to a cloud, you know, for the game. And I'm just not sure if it's going to do that, because we don't. Like, if we buy the game on Xbox, we don't automatically get it on PC and vice versa. So I would err on the side of caution and just say, make your character where you're going to play it. That's what I would do. Yeah. Unfortunately, we also got the news that Dragon's Dogma 2 is just uncapped 30 on the consoles, which is the main reason why I'm going to be playing it on the PC. I can't do that. I can't play the game at 30 frames. And I'm not trying to be like a snob or anything about that. If you enjoy your games at 30 and you have no issue with it, that's fine. That's it. You know, a problem that I have personally, like I've gotten to the point where it has to be 60 frames for me. Like I can enjoy a game at 30. Don't get me wrong. If I'm hard pressed to play a game at 30 and that's the only way I can play it, I will play a game at that. If it's something I really want to play. But if I have a choice, I'm going to play the higher frames, wherever that is. And that, of course, is PC for Dragon's Dogma 2. Chad, I don't know if you have a problem with uncapped frames. That's another issue for me, though, Hargeet, is the fact that they've chosen at Capcom to uncap it at 30 rather than just to lock it at 30. Do you think that's kind of a misstep there?
It depends on how much higher it can get, right? So if it's uncapped and it's like 45 average, that might be okay, because then you can use your VRS and, like, you know, whatever. It'll hopefully, that's what it is, right? VR, whatever those
things. Yeah, VRR, they are saying, though, that Xbox is the probably the best place to play it, because VRR goes a lot lower on the Xbox than it does.
40 frames, I think. So, and 48 PlayStation, something like that. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But yeah, so VRR, so that it'll just, you know, make it feel like it's 60 at least. It just depends. I don't know. I don't know how much it goes above. If it's like 32, then yeah, not so good.
Right, not so good. Not at all. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the game, though. It's honestly my most anticipated right now. I've been in kind of a funk with games. I'm enjoying Last Epoch, but at the same time, I'm yearning for a big open world game. Like, I need that. That's my bread and butter. That's what I crave the most when I game is open world games. I'm not a very linear guy. And so I like the fact that Dragon's Dogma is going to give me that. And just 2 more weeks.
Hey, you know, there's always the Yakuza series. Keep pointing it out.
I know. But here's the thing about the Yakuza series. I think the stories are excellent. They're fantastic. Well acted in Japanese, not the dub mode. Yep. However, the gameplay, the combat is what I struggle with on some of those games. I know they changed them up kind of. Like, I think the newer ones are more like a JRPG. The older ones are turn-based. Yeah, it's like turn-based.
The other, so what I ended up doing was saying, okay, I get that, like, because that was what frustrated the heck out of me, was the fighting that comes from, what is it, what's the Sega fighting game? I can't remember the name of it, but that's what they use. They use that as the foundation for it. It was what they did for Shenmue, and then now they went to Yakuza with it.
Oh, you're talking about the Sega, that old fighting game that used to be 3D
fighting game.
Virtua Fighter? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that it?
Yes, Virtua.
Virtua Fighter.
So they took that and moved it forward. So what I ended up doing was saying, okay, I'm just going to like spam the button. It actually works fine. So what you do is set it to easy and just spam the attack button. And it just totally destroys everybody. It's like, okay, well, that's easy enough. So that's how I do all the fights. Just spam the freaking attack button. And that got me by all of it. So I'm like, okay, cool. That works. Because I was trying to be strategic about it. It's like, oh, I got to shift here. And then I got to dodge this. And like, ah, screw that. Just spam the freaking attack button. And you get through the fight pretty easy. Like, all right, that's good. So if you're struggling with that piece of it, then just do that. But yeah, story's fantastic. It's open world, right? You basically, you get through some intro and then you go figure out whatever you want to do. Do all the side quests, go collect stuff, whatever you want to do, right? And then, you know, go through the story campaign as you want to. Fantastic series.
Yeah. Cerebral Paul in the chat says, I love Virtua Fighter 2. Yeah, you know what? I liked those old fighting games. Back in the day, I played a lot of fighters. I was big into Street Fighter and everything at the arcades. I had a blast with that stuff. And it's just I've grown old, people. I've grown old. I can't play those games anymore. Not at a competitive level anyway. A couple of years back, well, this is more like 5-6 years back, I got into the Killer Instinct on Xbox. And that one was like my favorite fighting game for a while. And me and my son would play that all the time. And he would spam one of the buttons. I remember he used to piss me off because he'd beat me just spamming one attack over and over. And I'm just like, come on, play the game right. I'm like, what are you, 5? And he's like, yeah, Dad. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't 5. Infinite Umbra, what's up, brother? Good to see you. Yeah, exactly. Spamming attacks. By the way, big shout out to Expose. Or Expose 305 with a $50 super chat. Man, you didn't have to do that, but thank you. I appreciate you. And he has such a nice message. He says, I miss Dealer and Zocker, but great, but grateful to have you guys around. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, Hargeet and I are like the last two from the RDX to keep going, you know, to keep podcasting and stuff right now. And we're hoping that the gang gets all back together again. We're hoping that happens eventually, Expose. Unfortunately, you know, we're kind of, Dealer is our host. He's the leader. He's the man, and he needs the time away, and got to respect that. We've all got to respect it. Web Dave says, you guys rock. He says, Hargeet. Yeah, Web Dave, you rock. Appreciate you, Web. It sucks, Web Dave, because there's times where I'm like, man, I would love to do your show, but it's like my show is just ending. It's like, do I really want to get on another podcast for another couple hours? And it's like, geez. And you know what? This man next to me is like, oh, I've done that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I even jumped into Web Dave's after hours.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, did you hear that this little Xbox game called Sea of Thieves is now currently the most pre-ordered game on PlayStation across the US, the UK, France, and Germany?
Wow. And that's pre-order, not wishlist.
That's pre-order.
Wow. So you're telling me that PlayStation gamers actually want to play multiplayer games?
Well, you're telling me they actually want to play Sea of Thieves? I mean, this is a game that they've all crapped on.
Well, you have to understand, there's a community and a Twitter community, and that does not represent all players. There's a reality of how much they actually represent, or how much we even actually represent, of the actual player base, right? And yeah, they just talk shit. That's really it, right?
Yeah, they do.
Because it's an Xbox game. Look, we're honest about saying, hey, I like Ghost of Tsushima. I think it's a fantastic game. One of my favorite games. I'm going to buy it again because I don't have a PlayStation anymore.
PC, baby.
I want to have that game. So I'll buy it on PC when it comes out in May or whatever it is. And right. I never got to play Iki Island. So I'll buy it anyway. Right. And I'm looking for, I know you hated Forbidden West. I am going to buy it anyways because I want to try it. I love the first one. Yeah. It was my second most favorite PlayStation game. So we're happy to say, hey, those games are good when they're good. Right. If I like it, I like it. They always try. On the side, it's like, dude, come on. It obviously is not always the case, seeing as how your players are actually buying the game. So, and hey, for all of you who buy the game and play it, welcome to our side. You can play it on Game Pass, which is a whole bunch of other games too.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I've been hearing a lot of people out there on Xbox saying, I can't wait to play Sea of Thieves and just sink ships on the PlayStation side. Constantly go after them and grief them. And you know what? If that's your thing, do it. You know, fight your console war battles on the high seas. I love that. That's funny.
Pirate to pirate.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. But it's just, it was eye-opening to me.
Right? For those for the PlayStation side, there is the DLC stuff that is just single player. They actually made a new mode where you don't have to worry about anybody else attacking you. You can play that mode as well. So, enjoy. You don't like, if you want to play the open world, you know, version of it, yes, people will attack you. That's the point. But yeah, there are modes where you don't have that problem and you can do the like little campaign DLC stuff they have. You don't get attacked by anybody. It's just you doing the campaign DLC. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
So check it out.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to the Longhouse Gaming Podcast. Now, this is a group of gamers that have come together on Black Vikings channel on YouTube, the Longhouse Gaming Podcast channel. They have a podcast, you know, group of friends coming together, podcasting, kind of like we do, Hargeet. It's really good, really fun, entertaining. I love listening to those guys. But Shout out to the Black Viking for making his way over to Games Talk Live. I appreciate that.
You think that this test basically says they should bring that to Switch as well? I don't know if they could get it on the current Switch, but maybe the new Switch?
You know, why not? Like, if they can do it, why not? I mean, if it's already the most pre-ordered game right now on PlayStation, or the biggest pre-ordered game, I mean, that tells you that it's going to make some money. I mean, if you're going to make money on PlayStation, make money off Nintendo as well.
Right. I mean, the Switch 2 is supposedly like a PS4 Pro, right?
That, why not? That'll work.
So it works on an Xbox One. So I'm sure they can get into that, right? So it's an interesting thought. Like, why not, right? Bring it over. We'll see how much that translates to an actual sales. Maybe they'll actually tell them.
Colt Eastwood says PlayStation guys have always wanted Sea of Thieves. So
yeah, the reality is everybody wants to play games, right?
Of course, of course. I mean, you know, this whole notion that, you know, Xbox has no games and that stuff, that it was just silly for many years. But I mean, look, a little game like Sea of Thieves has, I mean, you can't even call it little anymore. It's pretty big.
35 million players or something, right?
Yeah, it's got a massive following. That's nothing to scoff at all. So, yeah, I mean, you know what? Before we continue, though, I want to take a little time out because I've seen a couple of people in the chat say this, but I have to preface this by saying I wasn't never a Dragon Ball franchise fan or anything, and that's not because I hated it or anything. I was already an adult when that was stateside, you know, like it came out in like 96, I believe, or something like that. However, I know it's had a lot of impact on many people, young and old. It's also impacted other forms of media, including this one, the gaming space. So I wanted to take some time to pay respects to the creator, Akira Toriyama, I believe that's how you say his name, for sharing his art with the world and giving so many kids out there like a smile, a laugh, getting excited about that show, and or just even, I've seen people say that they've been empowered by watching those things that he's brought to the world. And for that, I have to commend him. You know, he seemed like a great guy from the little research I've done and stuff. He's made a lot of things. And the stuff I've come across social media with people talking about him and stuff, it's really, he's made a big impact on a lot of people's lives and still does to this day for a lot of children out there. So I just wanted to say, rest in peace. Chrono Trigger? No, Chrono Trigger. I have played. So yeah,
He was an artist, a lead artist.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. But
I think he was a lead artist, but yeah, he was an artist on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he was only 68 years old. And that's young. Relatively young. And I just wanted to say, rest in peace, Akira. We lost another good man on this world. So, yeah. I don't know, Hargi. Were you a fan of Dragon Balls?
Well, Dragon Ball Z. No.
Dragon Ball Z?
Dragon Balls would be a different thing.
Yeah, you know? That would be a very different thing. Ba-dum-bump. Yeah, no. Yeah, we're not a fan of Dragon Balls, people.
Pause. yeah, so no, I was not ever into any of that. Though I know his stuff is all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of different things are also inspired by his work. So I'm sure I've run across many things, many games that have his stuff in it. But either way, industry icon, right, for what he did. You just pay respects to the person, you know, who actually impacted so many lives across the world, right, in a positive way. So why not, right? So, you know, rest in peace, you know. And your legacy lives on.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead and talk about this whole this partnership showcase that we had recently, just last week, by the way. Let me cut this sound out here. I'm going to play it in the background while we talk about it. Hargeet, you watched it, right? You watched the Xbox partner preview. Was there anything in this preview that was entertaining for you, or were you like excited for any of these games? Like, is there anything that stuck out?
Pretty much all of it was it looked cool. The one that was weird to me was more the Chucky one. I guess Roblox is trying to get more mature content, I guess. Like, Roblox is very, to me, focused on kids. Chucky doesn't seem to be very focused on kids, but okay. That one's a little weird to me, but outside of that, all of it has some relevance. Final Fantasy has never really grabbed me, but I'd be willing to maybe potentially give it a chance. But that's like, so that one is kind of iffy. The one that's right next to my head, the Monster Jam Showdown here. Okay. I'm not the biggest of those genre games, but the rest of it, I did kind of seem interested in a lot of it. I finished Sinking City 1. Sleight of Hand looked like South of Midnight, a little bit like that, right? So kind of an interesting vibe. Let's see what that's about. Unknown 9, that looked like a pretty cool thing to start with. There's a lot of them here that are pretty cool. The expansion pass thing, I'm not clear on it, but I believe like if you have Game Pass Ultimate, you get that, I think. But if that's the case, that's kind of a cool thing too, right? Give you a reason to have that Ultimate, you know, to get the extras. But yeah, a lot of these things look pretty cool. The other thing that I'm seeing was a lot of it is Japanese, which is very interesting. Right? I think that's a good thing for them to showcase. Hey, we're not just Western stuff. We are very much a Japanese powerhouse as well, as far as bringing their content into Game Pass, but also into, you know, just onto the platform. A lot of these games would normally be skipping Xbox, and they're not, right? So so I think that that was kind of a nice thing, right? Their stage is becoming more more interesting to not just the Western audience, but also to the Japanese and Asian audience, which I hope resonates. I hope that works, right? I hope they also did this in other languages, because that's part and parcel of it. You know, if you're doing everything in English, that's also not good enough if you want to reach international audiences at all times, right? So you have to kind of translate and make sure it's available in local languages, which I hope they figured to do that. But yeah, I like a lot of these did resonate. I think they all look pretty cool. If you're looking for like exclusivity stuff, I don't think there's anything here that's exclusive.
No,
which is fine. I don't care. This is a partner program, right? A partner preview program, right? You go into it saying this is going to be third-party stuff, and it most likely all of it will be everywhere. I think there was a state of play that was partner where they did have a few exclusives, right? Which was an interesting part of their you know slate. They try to do the exclusivity thing. But you know, this was good. I thought it was a pretty good one. Most of the games seemed to resonate with me. I don't know. What did you think?
There were a few. The Unknown Nine for me looked pretty good. As a whole, I thought for me, it's more about the game showcases themselves, like, and how they're actually presented and everything. I thought it was really good. I thought they did that really well. There were a lot of games within that I didn't really care for personally, but I understand there's a market, you know, that it's people are excited. I've seen people talk about a lot of the games that were shown. But for me, it's more about like just showing me these games in a way where it's still entertaining. You're not boring me. So they did a good job. It was really well done. I think Xbox, they're getting to this point now where their showcases are A+ in the way they're shown, the way the games are shown. I think they're doing great.
You know, Tina and team have been doing a pretty good job. I think they kind of learned the lessons from everybody else where they've done well. We're not just Xbox, but anybody has done well. And they've kind of put that together. Like even having the little, you know, hey, we're going to show you a couple of things and then show you a summary, right? We just showed you these three things. This was a new reveal. Right. That's kind of a cool little like snippet, right? To just give you, hey, this is what you just saw. Cool. Let's move to the next thing. Right. You know, not bad. It's pretty cool. And there's no people talking. The one thing that used to bug me the hell out of theirs was they used to have Twitch streamers talking for hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just show me the things I care about. And instead of it being 20 minutes, it would be 3.5 hours with the same 20 minutes of actual game stuff that you're like, you actually wanted to see. Right. And like, it's way better this way. It's just way better this way. Just focus. Yeah, tell me what you need to tell me. So yeah, pretty cool. Certainly the Dev Direct, some people are saying the Dev Direct was a letdown in comparison to this, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I think they were both pretty solid. Rachie in the chat says that this is kind of like Xbox's state of play. And I would agree. It's kind of like that. Chat, the rest of you, did you enjoy this showcase and the way that these games are presented? And anyway, Cerebral Paul, thank you for becoming a supporter. I appreciate you a lot for that. And Danny Passion Official, the $5 super chat says RDX went third party and GTL stays exclusive. Dragon Ball Z is my favorite show ever. I got my wife into Dragon Ball Z. Now she even has Dragon Ball Z t-shirts. See, I could have read that the wrong way. I could have said Dragon Balls, you know, like we did earlier. Some people in the chat were laughing, saying I'm getting old and Dragon Balls is a problem. It's look, man, look, we're trying to do a show. Sith Lord with the $2. Fawns and Hargeet make my B-Day weekend awesome. Is it your B-Day weekend, your birthday weekend? Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday, Sith.
Yeah.
Really great guy in the community. Always retweeting shows out and everything. Such a good supporter of a lot of different shows in the community. Great guy. He's always a positive person. Like, he's always messaging me positive things and stuff. Really appreciate him. So thank you. KJ Wars 85 says, hey guys, it's a member for 8 months. Man, that's a long time, KJ Wars. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Jerry with the $5. What's up, Jerry? He says, nothing but love to you and yours, Fonz. Always great to pop in and see you grinding the hell away. Just built my third PC, console free for 4 years now. Yeah, hey, thanks to Hargeet, I got my first PC in 18 years. So I've been enjoying that a lot. So congrats on your build, man. It's awesome to see you, Jerry. I miss you in the community, man. You were, you need to come around some party chats some more. You were a hell of a guy, man. Funny. Abdullah, thank you for the eight. I don't know what SAR is, but $7.99 from somewhere. And I appreciate you for that. He didn't say anything. If you want to say anything, let me know, Abdullah, but I appreciate it.
Saudi Arabian Rial, apparently.
Okay. Saudi Arabian. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. $7.99. I love seeing all the different people from all around the world. It's crazy. Like, I mean, of course we're on the internet, so you're going to get people from all around the world, but it's nuts when you feel like a little guy in such a big space and you have people that like coming from Australia, Saudi Arabia, I mean, all across the globe. It's insane. It really blows my mind sometimes when I start to think about it. I don't want to think about it too much because I want to continue with the show, but I appreciate you. I really do. But yeah, the partner program is pretty decent. Like I said, as far as the games goes, a lot of it wasn't for me, but again, not everything is. Games aren't made for everybody. There's a market for these games though. There's somebody out there, a lot of somebodies that are like, hey, I want to play that game or I want to play this game. And I may not agree, but it doesn't matter. That's what games are. That's the beauty of these games. We all have our opinions and it's fine. It's fine to have differing opinions here. But and it was a great show.
We did get a shadow drop. We did get a shadow drop, right? A Stalker original trilogy.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to talk about that.
Why not?
So yeah. Stalker, it's not really doing anything new. It's basically just a port for the consoles, right? Specific for the consoles. It's not like redone or remastered in any way. It's just kind of Stalker. I haven't tried it. Have you? I haven't
not
tried
yet.
It.
No, I've not tried it. Yeah. I hear it's a challenging set of games. So,
really?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's worth trying, but look, it sets you up to understand what maybe Stalker 2 is going to be like and how many people might like or not like that game. Right. So, you know, there are types of games and you have to, you know, you might not like the, difficulty levels of this as well. So, it is its own little thing, right? So it is good that they bring it in. They didn't put it in Game Pass.
Yep.
So that's an interesting choice, whether it was deliberate to say, hey, you know, the studio could use a little influx of cash because, you know, they're out in a little war-torn country right now. So maybe they just, like, tried to help them out and say, hey, let's put this there. And right, it doesn't take much to bundle up older games and maybe up-res it a bit. So hopefully that's what happened here. And there's, hey, here's some way to get some money. Hopefully it sells. We'll see how it goes, right? So,
yeah. If you guys are excited for Stalker 2 and you want to get into that world and see what it's about, you know, download the game, try it out. If you got Game Pass, I mean, hey, it's right there. It's right there for the taking. Hargeet, what is going on with PlayStation? There's apparently been some kind of thing going on where gamers are losing digital libraries. What's happening?
Yeah.
What is happening out there?
It's supposedly a bug. It's an interesting bug, but apparently people are losing access to their games, and then they try to do like a, you know, restore license thing or whatever. There's an option in PlayStation to go do that, and it apparently takes away the rest of your games.
Oof.
So that's not so good. I think they've acknowledged the bug. We don't know the full impact, right? But it's at least 500 people. It may be more. It may be that people aren't accessing games, and then when they find out, it might happen a lot more. I don't know what the total tally of percent of users is having this issue. But somehow they're losing the fact that they bought their games.
And that, even if it's just one person, that's a nightmare. I mean, think of, about you being that one person and you lose your entire digital library of games. We're talking maybe thousands of dollars that you may have had invested gone.
Yeah, so this is an area that I think, unfortunately, is going to need government involvement. And like, I actually sent this into my senator to say, hey, this is something we need to fix. Like,
really?
Digital libraries are, it's unfortunately a thing that we've just let those companies tell us how that's going to work.
True.
Instead of us saying, no, I paid you money. It's my asset and I should continue to have it and be able to give it to whomever I like. So, you know, if something happens to me, my digital library should be inheritable by the next person I say should be inheriting my, assets.
Yeah.
Right. So because it's mine. But the way it's all structured is no, the company says they own it and you have a license to use. No. So this has to be ironed out. At some point you have to say, no, when I buy a movie, it's mine. I have the physical disc. I can give it to whomever I like. Right. I can't do that if it's a digital movie. That's stupid. Right. So that needs to be fixed. Same thing with games, same thing with music, right? Or a book, whatever it is, right? Whatever you have digitally. Right. You should be able to say that's my property and it should be, transferable as I would like to transfer it. And, it should be inheritable as I would expect it to be. Right. So whether it's standard inheritance to children or if it's I've written in my will, this will all go to so-and-so. Right. So this stuff needs to be ironed out. Right. It's one thing to have this sort of like grow up as it has over the last couple of decades. But we're now getting to the point where this matters and you can't just suddenly lose access to stuff. Like they could, and they have, right? Say, I can suspend your account at any time.
Yeah.
And if you've bought $4,000 worth of games, too bad, they're gone. Like, no.
That sucks.
No, you can't do that, right? So there has to be a recourse for that, right? And right now there is no recourse.
Yeah.
And like, so we need to have government step in and say, no, you have a legal right to your stuff, right? And that's what, then you can take them to court and say, hey, you took my stuff away. And I'm suing you. You owe me my stuff back, right? So, unfortunately, that's we just don't have anything right now. So you could have a court precedent, which may have happened. I don't know. I haven't looked into how many court precedents there might be for this kind of thing. But ultimately, I just think legislatures need to around the world. They just need to come up with answers. Say, this can't continue this way.
Yeah.
So your library is yours. The company has to do every effort in making sure your library stays yours, and they do every effort to like they just did with not Crunchyroll, but the other one, Funimation.
Funimation.
Oh, well, we're shutting down. Even though we have a service over here where we could just transfer your license, we're just not going to do that. You just lose all your stuff. Like, no.
But that's that has been the running concern for a long time with digital games and digital media. People have always like kind of tried to be the boogeyman and scare people and say, hey, you might lose access to your games or your movies or whatever it may be. And this is a reality that we live in. And you're right. There should be some sort of, and I don't like government intervention. I really don't.
I don't.
But in cases like this, it almost feels like theft when they can just pull it away from you after you've already purchased. So.
Yep. Because they don't consider digital assets as assets. And once they classify, that's all they have to do. The government just has to classify it as assets.
Yeah.
If they do, then all asset property stuff applies. Right. So now you can't just take it away. It's somebody's asset. You can't just take it away.
Yeah.
Right? So
the Elemental Hero in the chat said Spawnwave and RGT85 have covered more on the subject. They said it's really affecting more of like PSP, Vita games and other console generations. But still, that's your games. That's your library going away. And if people spent money on that and it goes away, I mean, you got to understand, you'd probably be frustrated too if you lost out on what could potentially be thousands of dollars worth of stuff, worth of games.
Yeah.
Risk It for the Biscuit, thank you for being a member for 13 months, man. I appreciate that. He says, 100% agree with Hargeet, but there's only one tech that can do that right now. Also, that means cross-platform games. Movies are easier. Great show, guys. Appreciate that. Hey, what's up, Jedi Knight, Peter? It's good to see you, man. Haven't seen him in a while on this show anyway. Hold on. I think we're getting a call. Hold on.
Who could it be?
Jim? Jim, are you there?
Thank you for the invite. It's nice to meet you, Hargeet. Fonz and I go way back to our Shake Shack days, where I would demand fruity pebbles. We'd have laugh and talk gaming. But it's really nice to be on Games Talk Live. Thank you.
Ah, welcome. Jim, everybody. Everybody knows Jim. PlayStation. Apparently, Jim, you are leaving PlayStation this month. This is your last hurrah there at PlayStation. I mean, do you have anything to say to your fans or anything out there about, you know, what they can expect going forward? Anything? Like, what do you have to say?
Everything will be fine here at PlayStation. To the fans, I'd just like to say that you're in good hands with Hiroki. He'll make sure all your games will be ported over properly to PC. And hopefully with those extra sales, we can keep the company afloat.
Wow.
With that said, I'd like to thank all of you for the continued support over the many years I've been at PlayStation. It's been one hell of a ride. Jim Ryan out.
Well, don't go yet, Jim. We still got questions. Like, well, what are you planning to do going forward after your life as, you know, CEO at PlayStation? This is great that you called in, but like, is there anything you've been wanting to do, or what's next on the horizon for Jim?
With my stepping down at PlayStation, I have decided to become a comedian. Do you mind if I try some of my material here?
No, not at all. Go right ahead.
PlayStation fans don't play games. They play Twitter and of course, Pornhub.
What? We've heard that before. Jim, we've heard that before.
Wow.
You got anything else? I guess.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth needs to be rebirthed onto the PC. That performance mode is an abomination. Am I right?
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah. I don't know if your comedy is going that well, Jim. You got any others?
So, Mario Day is upon us, and nobody fucking cares.
What? Jim!
Happy Mario Day, everyone.
Nobody cares about Mario Day? Oh, my gosh. Jim, I'm going to have to let you go after that one. Anyways, it was nice talking to you. Yeah, great to have you on, but I hope you I would say don't quit your day job, but you're already being pushed out, so it's good talking to you, Jim. Good talking to you.
Appreciate the time, but before I go, I just want to say to the Xbox fans, all your games belong to us. Sayonara, suckers.
That was Jim, everybody. Jim, it's great to have him.
Thanks
on the show.
Wow.
Jim was, dude, comedy in his future. I don't think so.
Wow.
Doesn't have that delivery, man. It's not good. It's not good. He tried, though. Anyways, it was good to hear from Jim. Let's go ahead and talk about, I wish he was here for this one. Deviation Games is no more.
All right.
And their game, of course, is canceled because of it. Yet another studio gone. Hargeet, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Why is another studio shut down?
Well, look, when Jim,
I wish he was here to, yeah,
to Games as a Service games for everybody in their arena and greenlit a whole bunch of games, we all expected that a lot of it would fail, right? That's kind of how this goes. Sadly, most of these games aren't even coming out. I mean, if they even got a chance to try and see what happens, right? This was one of them, right? This is another game that they greenlit. A lot of stuff has been happening with Deviation Games over the last year or so. And so whatever's left, that they just couldn't survive anymore, I guess. And so they're gone, right? So, you know, this is unfortunately, it's kind of normal, I suppose, but it does show the PlayStation world is kind of in an odd state, right? They shifted pretty hardly over to games as a service, and now they have to shift back, and it's a lot of investment that went nowhere. I don't know what ends up with, you know, PlayStation going forward. You know, this is kind of like a moment like where Xbox One started their gen and shifted into one direction and then found out, yeah, that didn't work out. And we have to kind of rebalance everything and go back to what really matters. Look, games as a service is not a bad idea. It's just doing as much as they did.
It's a crapshoot, you know. It's yeah, a gamble.
You just don't know. And you're better off spending like $50 million across 10 different studios and let them try to come up with a small game that takes off, right? If that works, great. Instead of saying, you know, unknown IPs, unknown games, but we're going to spend $150 million each. Okay. Obviously, that's a gamble that could not pay off. And it may look, the one that we knew about, the existing IP, Helldivers,
is doing well.
We saw it. We said, hey, this could be good, right? And Helldivers had an audience already, right? So you say, cool, this could be a good one. And Helldivers 2 is, in fact, doing great. And yep, that's good, right? So the rest of it, we don't know. Like when you say, you know, like, will the Payday clone Fair Games, is that going to do well? I haven't seen gameplay. And what we saw was like, okay, maybe it'll have an audience. I don't know. And how much have they spent on that game? God knows how long. It's been in development for so many years. Right. And Concord, again, I don't know. We haven't seen anything about it. We don't know what it's going to do.
Well, we saw the hamburger. Again, that's for sure. That's what we saw.
Yeah, the hamburger. Yeah. Right. Like, what? Okay, that helps. Okay. But that's it. Right. So, like, Marathon maybe will be good. We'll see. I mean, it is Bungie. But, you know, you can't always expect every single thing to just turn out great. It's tough to do that. And, you know, I think the better answer is to just let smaller teams come up with a weird idea, and if it takes off, it takes off. That's a better way to go.
I like that. So, let smaller teams come up with a weird idea and just let them go with it. Yeah,
that's how most of these work. Most of these
you know what? You're not wrong. Pow World, like, tiny team, yeah, with a weird idea. Right? Guns and with Pokemon.
Fortnite was a small team. They put something, you know, out there. It didn't work. They then took the PUBG model and put it in that that's game, right, and it did work. And, you know, okay, cool. And, you know, then they really did a lot of work to make that better. Cool, right? But that doesn't always happen. You know, PUBG itself, again, this is just a small team came up with something, said, oh, it blew up. And then, cool, it, you know, that became this massive thing, right? These are very hard to make. The one exception to that might be Apex. You could say Apex Legends was done by a reasonably sized team, right, with Respawn, making something in the Titanfall universe, but a different type of game. And it actually worked. Overwatch would be another one where Blizzard came up with a concept, right? But what was the equivalent from Cliff Bleszinski? Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers?
I think Lawbreakers. Yep. That's the one.
He tried that and
failed,
right? The game wasn't bad. It just failed. It's hard to make that work. So,
yeah.
I don't know that there's an easy answer to that. What Jim Ryan was saying in one of his interviews was, you know, hopefully we can learn from the mistakes of the past when we make these games as a service games and, you know, bring a better product. And it's like, dude, the mistakes of the past are the ones that you're making, which is to take your big studios and make them in, you know, make games as a service games when they're tuned to making single player games. That is the big mistake of the past. I don't see how you learned anything if that's what you did. In this case, at least the team was kind of ex Call of Duty devs making it a multiplayer shooter, but apparently it didn't work, right? And again, it's not easy. It's not. Everybody can do this. No. Remedy is a very talented team. Did people see what Crossfire was? God, it was garbage.
Terrible.
And do we expect that from Remedy? No. But it happens. This is the thing. Like switching gears, going to a different direction, it's not easy for people to make that work. So, obviously, it should be pretty obvious at this point. Jim was told to move out of the way. Hiroki came in and said, yeah, this is all done. We're not doing this whole thing. You guys are out, and we're going to be doing different things, right? And this is just yet another one. And I don't think this is the end, unfortunately. I think there's going to be more. And by the way, I would expect the same, by the way, on the Microsoft side. They just did round one. They still have to deal with their 20,000 employees and figure out how to make that all work. And there might be a round two. I'm just saying it might happen. The only one that seems to be immune to all this is Nintendo. But much everybody else, right, is going to, I don't know if Take-Two is in trouble. Maybe they would have to do something. I don't think Zynga has been working out that well, so they might have something there. But pretty much every other publisher is going to have something. Ubisoft, I think, is due. You know, a lot of the Japanese ones have been doing it. There are probably more coming. It just is what it is. Unfortunately, this is just the world they're living in, right? So I hope, like, you know, Final Fantasy, was it 16 came out, and then the team that made it was dissolved, right? And that's just sad, but that's what happened, right? Now you have Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out. It's not selling well either. Because of course they locked it to one platform. So,
what do you attribute that to with Final Fantasy and it just not selling as well, even on the PlayStation platform anymore?
Yeah, well, if you just look at raw numbers, right? When Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, the first one, they were at 90-ish, 100-ish million, something like that. You know, million consoles out there. They're at half that, right? I mean, you can't expect to sell. Your attach rates are still going to be in that same range. Damn. It's going to be tough for them to you know, sell more than, I think it was 7 million total with PC for the first one. You know, how is it going to really beat that? It's not. And that's with PC. They did that. They haven't even released it on PC yet. I mean, I think they should just take advantage of every platform wherever they can.
It's, you know what, you're onto something, because it seems like even Spider-Man 2 didn't quite make the sales that they projected at Insomniac. And I mean, look, they've got layoffs going on even there. And that's like PlayStation's biggest, you know, producer of games, like as of late anyway. So
it's done most of the games this gen.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And, you know, like games like Ratchet and Clank have now been like sidelined, and they basically are the Marvel studio. Which I don't know if that continues either. I like that whole thing may switch, because, you know, Hiroki's got to be looking at the numbers and saying, you want to spend $400 million on the next game? And how many million copies do I have to sell? And why are we doing this?
And like, then, of course, they got to pay a lot of licensing fees to Marvel, exactly, to, you know, Disney
and
or whatever.
And all this stuff. It's like, this is crazy. It's a lot to take on.
But I guarantee you see some of these companies, like, their eyes are getting wider. They're like, wait a minute. You want to go multi-plat? Hey, yeah, that's great. We like that. That's more sales for us, you know? Yeah. So, of course, you know, they're going to be all in with that. And it's funny that this is all coming up. And Peter Moore recently had an article where he was talking about how consoles are a serious question. Like, he was asking, like, you know, he says that when he was in the industry, he was an ex-Xbox exec. He's been with Sega. He's been all over the place. EA, I believe he was with them for a while. He was asked about the stagnation in the console business. And this is what he said. He said, we're at a crossroads right now. What you're seeing and certainly hearing from a company like Microsoft is, does the cloud replace the need for bespoke hardware? Does streaming change the way we game to devices that we're used to now, like in particular smartphones, he says. I don't think people are gaming less. They're just gaming differently, he says. Yes. And more you're seeing a generation coming through that is not about to sit down for an evening in front of the television with whatever the game du jour is this week. So, of course, you know, if you do look at his statement there, he's not necessarily wrong when you add in all the gamers out there, you know, the billions of gamers. There is a lot of young gamers that are playing on iPads, even, you know, adults playing on smartphones. This is a way a lot of the games are being consumed now. Do you feel like he's getting at the point where he's trying to tell us that, hey, there could be a point where these consoles will go away, you know? I mean,
yeah, and I fully expect that. I don't know if it's specifically that, like, so there's so many paths that could go.
Yeah.
To me, the obvious path is AR, right? Once AR, like, I have an X-Real Pro Air 2. It's just a pair of goggles that hooks up via USB to your phone or your PC, and it just gives you whatever your normal display is in front of you, but it's much larger, right? Yet you can see the world if you want to. You can see everything around you, but you also just get that projected in front of you. Now, that's a simple way to say, you know, my device no longer needs a screen all the time, right? So that screen you just turn off. All it is a CPU. And everything is now being shown here, right? And very large. Why do I need a TV then? Mm. Right? At some point, that's going to be the world. And right, so you have the people like us. I want a 90-inch TV. Okay, cool. You can buy a 90-inch TV. And that TV can have embedded capabilities to play whatever you want to, right? True. But your phone can also do that. And then you can just have a pair of glasses. And I've always expected AR is the technology that will disrupt. Once AR works to the point where it's running all day, and that is your interface to your phone, right? Now you have a reason to get it, right? It's you know, the thing that's going to disrupt is when it's your mobile phone. Your mobile phone has changed to this. That will be cool, right? Because now it has context sensitivity around you. It can see what's going on and just project to you, hey, go that way, go do this, whatever. Hey, that's a store over there you might be interested in. You know, so-and-so has just sent you a text. You want me to bring it up, right? Things like that, right? That just come in context sensitive right in front of you, right? Your interaction becomes right in your face, right? So that is the way it goes. And then you can just play your games that way, right? That, I think, is what's going to end up being the disruptor. I would expect the console to kind of stick around for those who want it. But it will become more niche. It'll just become a less and less standard thing. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes, right? So, you know, people who want CDs, that still exists. You can buy a CD player. It's just not that common anymore. It isn't.
Yeah, they don't even come in new cars anymore. It's nothing.
Hard to get, you know, yeah. Come by, right? And, you know, so the world is shifting. And, you know, at some point, it will shift more. Right. And like to the point of, okay, let's say the 5090 comes out. What is the pitch to go to the 5090? Well, maybe there will be one.
I think it's AI and stuff. I think AI is going to be the real big push.
But AI can be done. Like any one of our in our cars basically is a whole bunch of matrix multipliers, right? You could just take 10 of those and say, these are being used for AI. The rest are being used for graphics. Mm-hmm. So that's doable in your current card. And you may have plenty of oomph to do that, right? So I don't know at what point we say, hey, that's enough. I don't care anymore. Like the graphics are too real anyway, whatever. What do I need beyond this, right? And that may be coming up. And once you hit that, it really just like how much, like, what are we going to do with the console after that, right? So you say, I have a console coming up and maybe it's close to what the 4070 can do. Okay, that's pretty damn good. And then what do you do after that? Like, what's your pitch? What's the next thing, right? And at that point, there may not be a reason to have a console because there wouldn't be a reason to upgrade. So you just say, okay,
I'm getting to the point where I'm really like thinking that we're probably only going to have another two console generations.
At most. That's what I'm thinking. Right?
Yeah, and, it could happen. Even
then you have to question, okay, what is the point of the next gen console? Right. So there's a cost to that. Will there be enough adoption? Maybe, right? It may just continue just fine. But we're also looking at a horizon of time. And when will that shift occur where you're like, eh, that's passe. I want to do it differently, right? And I don't know when that timeline is. It may be 10 years out. It may be longer, right? To your point, maybe it is two gens out. But at some point, your devices are going to be so damn powerful that you're just like, I can just run this game here. I don't need that console.
Yeah.
It's not worth it anymore. And the TV manufacturer will tell you, you can just play your games, all of them. Here they are, the entire library. You can just play it directly on your TV or your Samsung phone or your whatever, right? Or your iPhone. And Mac is doing, you know, Apple's doing the same thing. They're trying to say, hey, you can play your games on Mac and iOS. We're bringing all the games here.
Yes.
Play games. So it's just changing. Everything is changing.
Yeah. Speaking of that, he Moore even went on to say that he's just waiting for PlayStation's shoe to drop, so to speak. He says, Sony is very much a hardware company. So I would like to say that that's your barometer company. Microsoft, not so much, but he thinks it's a real serious question. You know, being asked in Redmond, Tokyo, you know, wherever Xbox, you know, is in Redmond, of course, Tokyo is Sony. But he's asking, like, you know, giving all the layoffs and stuff, are these companies willing to go another round of multi-billion? And at the same time, you're gearing up for another cycle where gamers may not embrace the console and just say, you know what? I don't need this. Times are tough. I've got my phone. Yeah. I'm enjoying what I've got on my phone. There's plenty of games I can play. Failing that, I, of course, he says, I have my PC or my Mac. I can do whatever I need to do there. And do I really need to be spending what could be $600 on a bespoke piece of hardware just to play games?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of the stuff I've been talking about for years where I think things are going to converge in a different direction. Right. And, you know, old people will, just like anything else, like how many cable boxes still around, right? It's going to be boomers who just are used to getting cable, right?
Yeah.
Who buys cable now? Can you think of a Gen Dude. Z or a millennial who's like, oh, I have a cable box?
Do you know,
like,
that I've been cable free for 18 years now?
Yeah. I mean, there's just no need for it, right?
I don't watch it. I watch YouTube. That's what I'm watching, yeah. Chat. What do you guys watch? It's like streaming platform stuff, right? That's it. Like, for me, it's YouTube.
Pretty much it, right? And even if you need, like, on, you know, broadcast TV, even that's available through streaming. You don't have to have a cable box anymore. And you just, you'll pay for the month you want it and take it away. And, it's, you know, it's straightforward, totally different model, right? And, you know, so when you look at the shift, it's tougher for older people to give up. But that's kind of how markets shift. And, you know, kids grow up playing on whatever device they have access to. And, hey, we only have one big TV and that's where the console is. And guess what? Dad's playing or mom's playing and you don't get to play. Okay, cool. I'll just play on the tablet. And they get used to it. It's just the way it is. And they don't care then, right? That becomes their gaming and that becomes their habit. A lot of them also like PC because of the convenience of, like, it's everything. You don't have to worry about gate.
That is the nice thing about PC that I've come to realize is the fact that, yes, you've got access to pretty much everything. And now that PlayStation games, even if they're staggered, they're still going to PC. You're getting access to everything. And you literally have games on PC that you never see go to console. And yeah, while some of them are just ridiculous and that you don't even want on your console, trust me, but there are those that are really good. It's an eye-opening thing. B Martin 001, thank you very much for being a member for 28 months, man. Thank you. He's one of my longest supporters here. Honestly, I think he's probably one of the first. He says, Fonz and Hargeet, the dynamic duo in the house. Yes, thank you. Jedi Knight Peter, thank you very much for the Australian $20. Jeez, that's like spending $300, man. That's amazing. Australian currencies, that's expensive. He says, 11 days till Dragon's Dogma 2 arrives. Loving everyone's character designs on Twitter. X on Twitter. I'm not even, no, it's Twitter. It's still Twitter to me, damn it. I'm loving seeing everybody's characters and everything too. It's awesome. People are excited for it. And B Martin 001 yet again, he's gifting 5 gaming Fonz gaming memberships. Wow. Thank you, man. That's, dude, didn't have to do that. It's amazing. Thank you. That's awesome, man. You are the man. Also, Face23 BKNY with a big $50 super chat saying Digital Foundry was speculating on recent patent for Sony. Nothing is confirmed. All speculation about the PS5 Pro. That's it. When it launches, then we will know what the PS5 Pro can do. Why are you trying to downplay stuff? Yeah, you got a 4090. You want 60 frames guaranteed. Wait a year for GTA 6. Here's the thing, FaZe. I am only going by what history has told me in this gaming industry. And there's two things here, two major things. Number one, Rockstar has shown me time and time again that A, they put their games out on console first, and they usually try to build these huge detailed worlds to the point where 60 frames is kind of hard for them to do on these consoles. Okay. And you could say, yeah, it's a new console generation. We got better CPUs now and everything, but the tech is being moved all the time. It's being pushed all the time. So they're in a situation where there's still going to be some limitations here with the CPUs. And everything that I'm hearing and what Digital Foundry is hearing too, is that the new CPU in this, PS5 Pro is not even going to be that big of a jump at all. It's a marginal upgrade. It's tiny. They're even speculating, and yes, it's speculation, but for them to put this out there and say that they're speculating it's going to be a smaller jump from the PS4 to the PS4 Pro is huge. That tells me all I need to know, that the game will not be 60. If the only way it would be 60 frames on the PS5 Pro, if that is true, that it's just a marginal upgrade, is if that every other console Series X, Series X, and I'll say PS5, the regular one, were to have a performance mode at 60 frames for the game, that's when I'll concede and say, okay, then there's 60 frames. And at that point, that's great. I would love that. I just don't see it happening. It's just not what history has told me about mid-gen refreshes and about Rockstar. I just don't see it happening. I'm not wishing it to be this way. I hope it's not, but that's the way I feel. I think that's what's going to happen. I don't know. Am I a pessimist there, Hargeet?
Look, I mean, he's right in a way that we should just wait and find out.
True.
But you can speculate. Like the norm of Rockstar is they don't do that. They do 30.
Yeah.
So you can kind of guess that that's kind of what's going to happen. I'm sure they're going to take advantage of a lot of new features. And if they do, sorry, those tend to push it to 30.
If they push like we'll ambient occlusion, you know, ray tracing and stuff like that, it's going to be hard.
It's going to push the hardware. It is what it is. So you're going to be at 30. I mean, look, like Dragon's Dogma is 30. So like just take that as a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a barometer. Yeah. You're right, because you're looking at a big open world that's not even half as detailed as a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. And you know, it's at least two protagonists. I don't know if they're always going to be together, right? Because you had that switcheroo with GTA 5 where you could just switch to each character at any time, right? So like that means the world's kind of there and you have to, and it keeps running, right? So I don't know. You have to kind of keep, you know, all that stuff in mind and see what's happening. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
We'll see what they do. But
I would expect it's probably going to be 30. But hey, we could be pleasantly surprised and there's a 60 mode.
Oh, dude. But yeah, people are acting as if I don't want it to happen. Trust me, Face. I want the PS5 Pro to be a beast. That would be amazing to have 60 frames on GTA 6. I would want nothing better for that. That's amazing. I really want the Series X to have a performance mode for GTA 6 as well. Like I want 60 frames.
Buy it, and how expensive it's going to be, right?
They
have to increase prices of the current console. Just keep that in mind, right? Inflation is a thing.
Facts.
And so, what is this console going to cost? Is it going to be $700, $600? Like, what's the price point at which people just
dude? That is the problem. Like, we're already seeing where they've done the slim model, and it's the same price, or actually, it's more expensive because you're getting less. In my opinion, you know, they take the disc drive out. That's, you're getting less there. What are they going to do for this Pro? I can't see them coming out at a $500 price point. It's going to be at least $550. At least.
Yeah, like, at least.
And I see it probably being close to six. Risk it for the biscuit.
$550. Sorry.
Yeah. I just want to thank you for the $299 Australian. Amazing. Thank you for that, brother. I know Australian currency, that's like, you know, at least $100. He says, I'll always want a console or a native experience. Yeah, I agree. I take that back. I used to always say that too, that I want a native experience. Well, here's the thing. I do always want a native experience, but do I always need native hardware for that? And I'm guessing in the future, I might not. Like, there could be something that they can implement. I guess you would say maybe it's native if it's implemented within TVs and stuff, I guess, Hargeet.
Where you'd have some native, right? Because you don't need to process the entire bloody thing on the TV, but enough to have your local latency stuff on your TV. And that can give you more than enough of what you need. And then the rest of it can be cloud. Who cares, right? It doesn't matter if it's streaming that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Because I've had my experiences with GeForce Experience and GeForce Now. Really good. Really good experience. Great experience with that. 4080 in the cloud. It was like having a high-end PC in my home. I have a high-end PC now. And I could tell you, I could attest to that. It was close. And I was playing on the cloud. It blew me away. There was things about it, of course, sometimes queue times and things like that were annoying. But again, it blew my mind with how it worked. When it worked, it was amazing. I want to give a shout out to, hold on. I just saw something. Lotus Esprit. Wow. They were here just last week, Hargeet.
Yep.
And they gave 70 memberships that day. I remember it was like 50 and 20. I was like, I was blown away. Seriously, now he's given another 20. Like everybody's here is going to be green. That's it's that amazing. Thank you. Thanks. You, Lotus. That's amazing. Honestly, I don't know where they came from, but I appreciate you. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Like at first I thought that Colt brought them here, you know, because he probably did, because I think they follow Colt. I think they do. But great person, great individual. Thank you very much, Lotus. Appreciate it. But yeah, I had a great time with GeForce Now. So I can see things changing. And yeah, I want a native experience. I want a great experience with my games. And I don't want to compromise that. But at the same time, like if consoles went away, or even, you know, having the need for a high-end PC, I'm all for it. Like I want less in my home. And I want to enjoy those great native experiences, of course. But if it took just a TV with implementation in there between native stuff and the cloud, like you had some hardware in the cloud, like you were saying, Hargeet, I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's coming. All of it's coming, right? And look, you know, would you expect the phone of today to be as powerful as it was when you got an iPhone back in, what was it, 2008?
No.
Right? Think of where things are, right? And this phone probably outdoes a computer of 10 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
Pretty handily. Yeah. And so if you think about that level of power, right, and then what happens 10 years from now, that's going to outdo the computer of today. Your computer, which runs games at ridiculous rates, right? So this is where things go. It's always like this, right? But there's just a point at which you're like, it's enough. I don't need more. I don't need more. And that's where we're getting. We're getting so close to that it might be another generation, but we'll see, right?
And I think that's what Peter was talking about, you know? Yeah. And by the way, Peter Moore was probably one of my favorite execs at any corporation within the gaming industry at the time. I remember he was the guy that did the whole Grand Theft Auto tattoo and stuff, lift up his sleeve. I remember that he was doing that for Xbox and stuff back in the day. What an awesome guy. I think the Iron Lords, matter of fact, the Iron Lords talked to him. Yeah, twice. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Snowdragon, thank you very much for joining the channel. I appreciate you. Just became a supporter level 2. I appreciate that. Septic Sauce, I see you in the chat. He says that brown guy speaks sense. Of course Hargeet does. It's amazing. It's a welcome, Gaz. Let me give you a proper welcome, Gaz. You know how you do it, Gaz. Welcome, Gaz. All right, there you go, Gaz. Great people in the chat. I really enjoy the banter going on in the chat at times. You guys are awesome. Let's talk about speaking of, you know, games and stuff, PlayStation recently, or just I think day before yesterday, or was it yesterday? I think it was day before yesterday, they accidentally leaked the demo for Stellar Blade on the PlayStation store. So there was a bunch of people that got a hold of the game right away, started playing, and then within a few hours, I guess, they yanked it from them, and they were all upset. But Stellar Blade was out there for a little bit, and lots of people got footage and stuff. And they, you know, one thing I was saying, or I was looking at it, and I was reading some Reddit posts about it and stuff, people are very conflicted with the gameplay itself. It seems like some are saying that it's sort of Souls-ish in a way, sort of Lies of P, but you have to really depend on the parry system in the game. So they're saying in that aspect, it's a little tough, but once you get used to that and parrying and stuff, it gets kind of, you know, easier, I should say. So I didn't know it was going to be a game like that. I thought it was going to be more hectic and frantic and fast paced and just like, you know, your typical, like, I don't know. I thought it would be more akin to like Devil May Cry than Souls.
Yeah.
But it seems a lot slower paced with the fighting. So I don't know if you've seen any of that.
I haven't seen any of the footage for it. But you know, if that's the gameplay, that's cool. look, we'll find out what you know with the reviews, you know, what the game really is like. But interesting that the demo came out for a little bit, and maybe that was a mistake, and they turned it back off or whatever. But interesting that some people have to play it. But hey, you get a preview. That's cool. There wasn't actual preview. Has there been a preview for this yet?
No, and this tells me that there's obviously a demo coming. Accidentally put it out there too soon, right. I think. It's supposed to be out when? Is it
April? The,
April, is it? I think April, it's April.
Make sure. I think it's April.
Because I think Rise of the Ronin is
April 26th.
Is this month. Yep. It's the same day as Dragon's Dogma 2, which is Suicide. Chat, let me know. What are you playing? Rise of the Ronin or Dragon's Dogma 2 that day? Because you're not going to be playing both. It totally bad idea. So I was talking about this with Colt and Rand and everything the other day in a party chat. And we were talking about the release dates of the Sony games. How they released all these games within the first 4 months of this year. I think it was a bad move, personally. Okay. I think it's great that they released, you know, a couple of big hitters like, you know, Helldivers 2. Really big hitter for them. I think Rise of the Ronin, because they're releasing it the same day as Dragon's Dogma, I think they could have released that later in the year. I think they should have moved it. I don't know. I think it would have benefited.
Along with Horizon.
Horizon on PC. That's another bad one. Yeah.
A bad idea because Dragon's Dogma is coming to PC, right? So, like, again, you're just going to miss out on sales for no reason.
So, you know, I'm convinced that Sony hates that franchise. I'm convinced.
I don't understand why, but they do this to them.
They put out the first Horizon during what? Elden Ring. Elden Ring totally overshadowed that game. No. The first one
was Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. And Horizon Forbidden West was Elden Ring. And now they're putting it on PC remastered against Dragon's Dogma 2. And it's what are you doing?
I don't know.
It's not like they don't know,
by the way. They know when these games are coming. It's coming to their platform. They know Dragon's Dogma's release date. So what the heck are they thinking? I don't know. That's just... And Rise of the Ronin just blows my mind. You're going to put it out the same day.
Yeah, because I want to play Rise of the Ronin. And you're putting it out the same day as my most anticipated game? Like, I'm not going to get to it.
You really got to be careful about that. So does Xbox, by the way. They have so many games coming. They have to be careful about cadence of when they release it, plus one third party coming out.
True.
But this is just a stupid idea.
It's not a Sony-only problem for sure, but it's a Sony-only problem right now, I feel. And what would really hurt?
2 days. Really? Two days.
Why?
Along with a major third party that everybody's excited about. Are you kidding me? It's a terrible idea. I don't know who makes that decision. That's just dumb.
Stilofax says Rise of the Ronin looks like a poor man's Ghost of Tsushima. And you know what? Here's the thing. I love Ghost of Tsushima, and that's also coming to PC in May. We talked about that a bit earlier. I love that game. So I'm definitely going to buy that on the PC as well. But to your point on it not looking so great, Rise of the Ronin. This is from Team Ninja, this is the same team that gave us Wolong last year. And Wolong looked almost the same. And Wolong was an incredible game to me. I thought it was fantastic. It was one of my favorite games last year. There were so many games I loved last year. Hogwarts, that game, several others. But Wolong really stuck out to me because it was kind of tough. You know, you had some bosses that were tough in the game and everything, but it wasn't frustrating for me. Like, I was able to get through it, and I had that sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, we gave up on that game. Like, I played that co-op with a friend, and we kind of gave up on that. You know, when it became, like, the hub part, that's when we sort of, like, just because it was the nighttime, we're like, all right, well, let's just go to sleep. We never went back to it. Actually, Jedi Knight Peter helped us out for a bit as well. We were playing, you know, as three-player. But yeah, it probably should have been a game we went and finished. I don't know how much is left, but you know, whatever.
Lotus Esprit yet again comes back with another 10 memberships.
Yikes,
dude! I don't know what to say to them, but I'm just blown away. Like, thank you, appreciate you. Awesome. Everybody's green in the chat. Green and blue. I love it.
Right?
Love it. Love it.
As far as the looks of Rise of the Ronin, just, you know, give it a chance. I don't
think
the look needs to be the thing. It's gameplay that matters, guys. Gameplay.
It really is. And Pal World really showed me that. And honestly, it's so weird that it took like Pal World to like open my eyes and show me that, hey, a game doesn't need to be huge budgeted, doesn't exactly. need to look amazing, blow your socks off for it to be fun. And I know I've played other games in the past that are indie, smaller games and stuff, and I've enjoyed them. But like Pal World did something to me that just it blew my mind. Because again, it did a lot for me because it was a big open world game and it gave me the building aspect I like in survival games and stuff. And it just did a lot that opened my eyes. And I was just blown away at how much they spent on the production of this game compared to AAAs. And AAAs, here we have a bunch of AAAs coming out lately that have not been very good. You got Suicide, you know, Kills the Justice League, that it has done horrendous in the community, and they called it, you know, a big AAA game, and that it was, you know, even Rocksteady themselves said that it was a disappointment to them. And that's huge for a development outfit to come out and say, hey, it was a bad game for us. And it sucks because you don't want to see that. You don't want to see that from a team like Rocksteady. Yeah. I've been a big fan of theirs for many years. The Arkham series is some of my favorite games. Yeah. So it sucks. Oh, Jedi Knight Peter, he says Ark over Pal World. I disagree, sir. I disagree. But here's the thing. I played Ark a little bit. I tried to play it anyway on the consoles, and it was horrible. Like on the Xbox One, it was like playing a stop motion animation game, you know, like one of those stop motion claymation films, you know. The frame rate was so bad. So bad. Lotus Esprit says, everyone, you are very welcome. I have recently had horrific encounters in other chats and channels. I am renewing support for the few I still have respect. I appreciate that, Lotus. Well, you're free to, you know, be here and you're very welcome. You seem like an awesome person, and I respect that. So thank you. I feel honored to be one of the few that you respect. That's awesome. But yeah, Ghost of Tsushima coming to the PC. I was looking at that, and it says that Ghost of Tsushima will have unlocked frame rates and a variety of graphic options tailored to a wide range of hardware, ranging from high-end PCs to portable PC gaming devices. It's going to have ultra-wide support. I don't know if you have an ultra-wide. I don't. I play on my OLED. Nope. But
yep, same.
Yeah, it's going to have triple monitor support. It's going to have boost. It's going to boost performance with upscaling and frame generation. Okay, so DLSS 3, that's awesome. AMD FSR 3, that's another awesome one. And Intel XESS, that is their sort of DLSS, right? The Intel? Mm-hmm. Is it any good, by the way? Have you seen things on it? I
haven't done comparisons myself, but I'm sure they're a little behind DLSS. But what I hear is Intel is catching up pretty fast to their competitors. But we'll see, right? So at a gen or two, they probably will be comparable. But they, they're still behind, I believe, both AMD and NVIDIA. But they're not that far behind. So it's pretty cool that they're catching up. We'll have a third really good option. It will also give you the option to get like an all Intel box that just has everything. What we don't want though is to, like that just becomes the norm, but it's good.
I understand like of course with the 4090, you can pretty much run most games without DLSS, of course, all of them really. Yeah. But I honestly like using DLSS because I don't think it really hurts the image quality. And in fact, sometimes it looks even better to me. Sometimes it looks better. But here's the thing. The frame rates, that's why I use it. Because sometimes I'll be playing a game and it'll be like 100 frames. I'll turn that DLSS on and it'll go to like 200 frames. I'm like, what the? It's so great. So awesome. And by the way, Xbox Obi, I see you in the chat. He says, once you go ultra wide, you'll never go back. I don't know. I like my OLED. Now, if I had an ultra wide OLED, maybe, and maybe if it was a nice size, but I like bigger screens when I play games. I don't know about you, Hargeet. The monitor thing isn't my jam.
Yeah. I mean, so like you'd be sitting here and then you can see it around you, right? So that's one way to go. Like it'd be right in front of you.
Yeah.
The other potential for that is AR, as I was saying, right? So either VR or AR, where the screen can envelop you, right? It's just a thing in front of you and it can be a massive screen, right? And that could be a potential way you get ultra wide as well. But yeah, I'm with you. I like the big television. That generally is how, but you know, there is something to be said about having something surround you, which is kind of,
oh, cool. Yeah, that's, you know, yeah, it's immersive, so, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So a MetaQuest may be a good way to do that. You can just, you know, you don't have to like have a game be VR enabled. You just plug it in and it just gives you that triple monitor. Right?
Like what's really cool is, yeah, I've seen the big triple monitor setups, like big, like at least 50 inches, you know, and they'd have three and they'd have like a racing setup, a little wheel and stuff in the middle. And it looked like you were driving a car. Those setups are amazing. And I could only imagine even playing regular games on that. That'd be pretty cool. Big open world game. Yeah. No, I know you have an OLED too, Obi. I know. Again, it's just lack of knowledge by my part. I haven't used an ultra wide, so I really don't know. Like, just lack of experience, I should say. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that experience. If you want to send me an ultra wide, though, Obi, I'll accept it. Maybe I can get rid of these two little monitors here, you know, and just cut it in half so I can do the show. No.
Shout out to Obi. I haven't talked to him in forever.
Yeah, he doesn't get on party chats enough anymore.
I know.
At all anymore. He's doing big time things with TikTok. TikTok star.
Until it gets banned.
Ooh. Hopefully it doesn't. Obi's doing great things over there.
I mean, it's one step away.
I know. Alfonso Mendoza says a 9K setup. Yeah, those are probably really expensive to have that kind of setup. Triple monitors. Yeah, I can't do that. Anyways, anything else that we didn't cover yet? I don't have anything else in my notes. So if we don't, we can get out of here today.
Did we cover everything? Maybe we did. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, we pretty much talked about everything. We bounced around each topic.
Did we talk about, we talked about that. I think we did talk
about that. Yeah, we did. We had a great discussion. It was nice flow today. It's been great because Hargeet came back. I love, you know, here's the thing. I love doing this show so much and talking to, you know, you, Hargeet, and you know, having these conversations because you always come to it with a great logical, you know, mind. And you don't just fly off the cuff and say some weird crap like I've seen some other podcasters do. But I have to shout out the chat, though. Honestly, our chat is some of the best chat ever. Like, you really don't see much toxicity in my chat at all. Really, it hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
And that's tells me that, you know, I may not get a lot of people coming here, but the people I do have coming here are effing quality. You guys are quality. And I love you guys for that. Danny of Passion at the end has to say a game that can, for $2 here, he says, a game that I can't put down is Tekken 8. You know, I haven't, again, I said at the beginning of the show, I haven't played much fighting games anymore because I'm getting old. I don't have those reflexes, but Tekken 8 does look cool. It looks cool. I used to play Tekken back in the day. Boba Fett Gaming says Melbourne yet to actually start playing. Makes sense. Dead. Melbourne. Are you talking about like football or something? And we got another 10 memberships from Lotus Esprit. Thank you very much, Lotus. Seriously, thank you. That's too generous. Again, everybody's green today. Green and blue. I love it.
A couple of smaller stories. One was that now that the ABK deal is done, there was the largest QA whatchamacallit, union set up, right? So,
oh, that's right. It's the biggest union people. In the gaming industry, right? 600.
Yeah.
It's not developers. It's the QA, testers. It's QA.
Yeah. Yeah, the QA people. So that happened. Apple's been going back and forth on their craziness about, they banned Epic's developer account, right? As Epic was about to put their store together, and then got slapped a bit. So they undid that, right? So that's another one that happened.
They're just watching their backs, you know, these... They saw 1,900 people get axed, and they're like, "Hey, guys, let's form a little union here. Let's try to get secured with our jobs." And so, it makes sense, and that's great for them. That's awesome. I'm glad they were able to do that. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's a little bit of good news, right?
There's that's great news.
Union thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully that goes somewhere for them. That's cool. And maybe that'll be the beginning of like. Things getting better for QA in the gaming industry, right?
Oh, that's true. It might right, make it so. To where they're happy doing their jobs, and not saying that they're not, right. But assuming that, you know, the better your job is, the more stable, and, you know, with unions obviously comes sometimes you get better pay, things like that, better conditions at work, and you get happier employees. So... hopefully that will leak into that quality testing.
I hope that works out. Yeah. Let's see what happens with that. The other minor one is just like NVIDIA was getting the games on their cloud. Boostroid is now starting to get games from Xbox on their cloud. So that those games have started showing up over there as well. So that just happened this week as well. So
for anybody who's
using that service, they now have access to Xbox games.
So, yeah.
Minor things, right?
Yeah, Boba Fett Gaming member of 25 months. Thank you very much, Boba. Another big supporter for a long time. He says Koala T, Bonds and Geet. He's referring to this
Top Koala T.
That's what he's referring to. Top Koala T. BT Maverick, yep. Thank you very much for the five. He says, didn't want to derail the show until the end, but Jez Corden mentioned that he wants to do an Alan. Alien conspiracy show as well, Fonz. We need this to happen. Wow. Yeah, if he wants to do a conspiracy show with me, I will definitely do that with him. I'm big on conspiracy theories. I like talking about that kind of stuff. I would definitely do it. 100%. Definitely.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing that maybe we talk about this was Yuzu getting shut down.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Yuzu got shut down. The emulation for Nintendo on PC. Gone.
Yeah.
Like the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently it was stuff that they were doing kind of shady.
Yeah. So apparently they were, they had like a paywall happening, right?
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what got them in trouble.
Or something like that. Well, it wasn't just that. It was, they were, if you paid, you got help to sort of figure out how to do all the things you need to do that are not exactly, shall we say, legal. And hacking a Switch and getting your stuff onto PC. So they weren't allowed to really do that, right? They're allowed to have an emulator, but they're not allowed to tell people how to hack a device. So on the normal site and everything, it's like, hey, you can go here and try to figure that out on your own. We're not going to get involved, which is the legit thing to do. But they had that paywall and they kind of like, and told people and like, and so Nintendo infiltrated that and said, "Oh, really? Tell us more. How do you do this? Okay, oh, this is great.
Yeah, keep talking." And then they're just taking little notes. Okay, what did you do so, next?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, paywall. And oh okay, yeah, Patreon. All right.
Yeah, so they pretty much like settled immediately. Like they got caught. That's basically it, right? So that was pretty stupid on their part. They should not have done that. But either way, it is what it is. It's done. Like 10 seconds later, a whole bunch of other emulators showed up. It's not the end of emulators. It's just the end of Yuzu as an emulator.
Which apparently was one of the biggest and best, right?
It was the easiest to use. There were definitely other ones out there anyways. So
speaking of that, they got rid of the, was it Sentra or what was the 3DS one emulator? That was the biggest one. They got rid of that as well with Yuzu.
Yeah. I don't know what the name of that one
it's
was.
I forgot. My son was telling me about it because he actually used it. The 3DS emulator.
Citra.
He said it was really good.
Yeah.
And it's gone now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but again,
but I'm sure somebody else will show up with the same bloody thing. It's not like it'll be fine. But yeah, so that was kind of just a little stupid thing they did, and they got caught. I mean, it is what it is, right? So, yeah, interesting story.
Yeah, no, it's. it's crazy that you know emulators like that are getting taken care of now. You know,
well, the emulator itself is legal because there was a court battle with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but it's
legal. It's just what they did outside of that was like, here's how you hack a device. Like, you cannot tell people how to hack a device. That's
yeah. Well. With that said, Hargeet, we're going to wrap up the show today. I want to thank you for, of course, being an awesome co-host and being here today, being back. And next week, we will be back again, Sunday, same time. We should have some more topics to talk about, some bigger things, hopefully, come along. And I want to thank the chat, and I have to shout out the one and only Boss Mod, Lethal Papa. That's right, the greatest moderator in the world. Is back here again. Sometimes I don't see him in the chat. Sometimes I see him, but it's good to have him when he's here because he knows how to hold it down. He knows how to ban people that are just being toxic. Great guy. And of course, I want to shout out everybody else. I wish I could just say all your names here, but it would take too long. But thank you, everybody, for showing up today. Thank you, Lotus, for gracing us with your generosity. Amazing. And I want to thank just everybody listening after the fact or watching this after the fact. I appreciate you all. And Hargeet, with that said, let everybody know where they can find you throughout the week because you are everywhere.
I know, right?
Everywhere.
So H Chani on Xbox, H Chani on Discord. And then next up, I think, is just going to be Boom's podcast, which will be Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Nice.
U.S. Eastern Time. And that's the Double Barrel Gaming channel. And then back here, I think, I don't know if this week or it's next week, I'm now kind of doing C Money's Friday evening show as well. So it's On Point for Gaming, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is his channel at 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. So you can check me out there as well. And then back here on Sundays with Fonz. And at some point, I think we'll see what happens. Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after is PAX. So I might be available. We'll see because I might be at the convention center as well. So we'll see how that works out.
That's right. You got PAX. Yeah. So, all right. Well, until next time, guys, you know the deal. Game on.